We have an extremely good crowd this morning, and for that we're appreciative. We have a number of visitors with us, and we want you to know that your presence is appreciated. We hope that if you see or hear anything that we do this morning that you have questions about, that you think might be wrong or in error, especially, you'd be our friend to bring it to our attention that we might study it with you. And if we are in error, we want to change and make that right. At the same time, if you are not a member of the Lord's church, and you examine the things that we have to say this day, and you find them to be in harmony with God's will, we implore you to take action and make a change to make yourself right with God this day. We're going to be studying this morning from Matthew the 5th chapter in verses 14 through 16. There Jesus made the analogy of comparing the Christian to being the light of the world. And I want to look at that analogy this morning and see if we cannot draw some principles and some conclusions from it. Beginning in the 14th verse, Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, a lot of times I don't think as Christians we realize the significance we have in this world. Too many of us live our lives as though it is something totally private and totally belonging to us. People in this country especially are prone to take their lives and to hide them behind doors. We do our work in our places of employment and we come home and we sort of sequester ourselves in our homes and turn on the television and begin to see what we can do in the privacy of our homes. We gear our lives a lot of times to being private. And I realize there's a need for privacy in our lives, but too often as Christians, we miss the point of the importance that we have. We spend a lot of time preaching about how a Christian ought to live, what he or she should do, and what he or she should not do. And yet sometimes we don't translate that into its most important aspect. And that is that we ought to be shining as lights into this world and being out where people can see that kind of behavior and at least begin to ask questions about why we live like we do. Christianity in its true form is oftentimes unpopular. In this country, we are called a Christian nation, quote unquote, but that's not the type of Christianity I'm talking about. I think everyone here this morning who is a Christian and who really tries to live like a Christian ought to live understands that some aspects of that is unpopular. When a person talks about fornication being evil and wrong, if you say much about that in the workplace, people are going to laugh and jeer at you to some degree. At least that's been my experience. At least make light of it. A lot of people, if they are Christians and they talk about dancing being wrong, that it is provocative and leads to sexual misbehavior, are going to be ridiculed by those who hear them. When we talk about baptism being necessary for the salvation of a person's soul, there are going to be people that call us water puppies and water dogs and say you believe that the water is going to save someone. There's a lot of elements of true Christianity that are going to be unpopular. You know, I think every one of us realizes it, and sometimes we kind of draw into ourselves. We come together in a meeting like this where we have people who agree with us for the most part, and we expound our beliefs and we're free to talk about what we believe is right in this group because we're not finding very many people that are disagreeing with us. But you know, it's a different situation to walk out into the world and make the same proclamations we make in this windowless building. so that everybody can hear it and everybody can see it. Yet when Jesus talked about us being lights in this world, that's exactly what he was talking about. How are people going to hear and know what God is all about and glorify him if they don't see it in us? God's in heaven. God isn't visible to people in this world. And so how are the masses, the millions of people that live in this world, going to have any idea of what God is like if we don't show them and exude the light of God through our own lives? We're concerned here at this congregation that it isn't growing like it ought to. We have a good crowd today, and we could probably get 50 or 60 or maybe 100 more people into the building before we'd have to build a larger one. But do you realize that most of the people that make up this congregation are coming to us from other congregations? They're moving into the area. We're not doing it through the conversion of people in this community. And I think it's because we're not letting our light shine. And I'm not preaching at you this morning. I'm saying that about myself too. I don't think we're really exhibiting what God is all about in our behavior and in our lives. And I'm not necessarily talking about going door to door, knocking on doors and saying, "Would you like to come to church?" Maybe we need to do some of that too, but I think the more basic element that we're missing is what Jesus was talking about here. You know, we are lights in this world, but we're only supposed to be lights like the moon is a light, a reflection of the sun, the moon is. And we are to be lights in this world only to the degree that we reflect the glory and the majesty and the righteousness of God. People are supposed to be able to see in us what God is like, what righteousness is all about. And while some of us live righteous lives, we don't make any point, we don't make any effort of letting other people see it. And in fact, sometimes, for a variety of reasons, we kind of withdraw ourselves completely from the world. The Bible teaches us not to be a part of the world, but it says that we have to live in the world. And there's no way that we can carry out the commands of God to teach and preach the gospel if we hide in our homes and in our congregational buildings and don't really let people see what Christianity is all about. If we don't get out and live our lives and make it obvious what we are, if people can't see just by coming in contact with us when we make a business deal, or when we go to a business meeting, or when we work in the factory side by side with someone, or we work in the real estate office or the bank, or in our military jobs, if that be what we have, if people cannot within a short period of time know that there's something different about that man or that woman, we're doing something wrong. And that's what begins to problem me, because I see in me and I see in all of us days and days that go by and people don't realize that there's anything different about us than anyone else. And I have to wonder why that is. And I have to ask myself, what am I not doing if I can live and work alongside someone for several days or weeks or months and then not realize that there's something different about me? I ask myself, is it because I don't want to appear different? You know, there's not very many of us that really enjoy being viewed as different and unusual. The kids come home from school and somebody's got some strange new clothes or a strange new haircut that is now in, and the kids want that too. They want to be in. We want to be in too. I guess it's a basic human emotion not to want to be segregated and on the outside. And yet, we are in. As far as Christianity is concerned, we are in the kingdom. We are in hope of heaven. We are in the image of God. We are in hope of heaven when this life is all over. It depends on which group we want to be in. Oftentimes there is no explanation given by us for the strange lives that we live. People look upon us if they do see that we are different, and we don't bother to explain why. We need to understand how we make our lights shine in this world. Verse 16 says that it is by good works. Let me read that again. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." 2 points to be made there. We let our light shine by doing good works. And the purpose of doing those good works is not that I can strut around and people can say, "Oh, that Randy Blackaby, he is a good fella. He lives so right and he does so good. He is just a super fine person." Now, you know, some of us sometimes live righteously for that reason. We want people to think that we are right and good and that we are above average and that we are better than the gutter drunk and the vile sinner who fornicates and commits adultery and murders and steals. We want to feel like we are better than that, and we want people to see that we are better than that. But Jesus said that wasn't what doing good works was all about. The point of doing good works, and this is critical to us to understand, the point of our doing good works and letting our light shine is that other people can see the glory of God. We talked some weeks ago, months ago, I'm not sure how long it's been, about what our very point in being Christians is all about. What is the meaning of our life here on this earth? And as Solomon said back in the Old Testament, that our total purpose is to serve God. Our purpose is to try to bring other people to Christ. You know, if we really understand what it is to be a Christian and all that lays out there before us in the way of heaven and living with God and having no more problems, if we really understand and appreciate that, we would be compelled to try to get other people, our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, to want to have that too. And we miss the point sometimes about these good works, and that is that if we do them, and we do it for the purpose of letting other people see what God is like through godly behavior, others may be able to receive it too. If we knew a way that everybody that wanted it could make $1 million, there's no limitation on it. Everyone that follows a particular prescription could make $1 million. We'd be out there telling every friend we had how to do it. We would be explaining it to them. We would be showing them. We'd do it by example and by word, and we'd be knocking on their door at night telling them about it if it was free to all. And you know, the gospel of Christ, the hope of heaven, it is free to everyone who wants it. And yet, we as the tools for disseminating the how oftentimes don't feel that's of much importance. Again, I'm preaching to me as well as you. I guess we have to determine what good works are too, because that's very confusing. There are thousands and millions of people in this world who are doing things that are identified in the world as good works. Different groups are out teaching against the improper use of drugs and alcohol. We have different groups trying to control the different diseases that are going on in the world. We have people that get involved in community and civic and charitable works, trying to make life easier for those who live here upon this earth. All of these things are identified as good works by many people, and it's difficult to deny that there is an element of good in every bit of it. And yet, that isn't really what Jesus was trying to get at. This can't really be the light that Jesus was wanting us to emanate unto the world, because people who aren't Christians do a lot of that. There's a lot of good done by people who have no interest in God whatsoever. I know a number of people who are atheists. They just do not believe in God, or they are so unsure about whether God exists that they really just do not attempt to examine the issue any further. And they do things that are good for their communities. In fact, they work harder at making things easier on their neighbors than I do. They work in community programs, and they work in food drives, and they work in this, and they work in that more than most any of us do. They're community-minded people. That means they're interested in the people that are around about them, and yet they don't believe in God. And the good works they do are not the good works that Jesus was talking about here. And I'm not belittling what they're doing. What I'm trying to say this morning is that we have to live our lives in such a way that, as the song that we sometimes sing expresses, we are the hands of God. We are the only people. We are the only message that some people in this world are ever going to see. And if people are going to understand what God is about, what He teaches, and what He wants us to do, they're going to have to see it through us. And we're going to have to live like God would live if He were walking on this earth. You know, I think that's a big part of what Jesus coming into this world was all about. His death on the cross was the element that offered us hope. But He lived for a number of years before His crucifixion. And one of the things that He did was to show us, in perfect form, God living on earth as a man. What God was like in a form that we can identify with. You know, it's one thing to try to imagine what God is like in a spiritual form, off in heaven, where we don't see. And we can conjure up these ideas of some spiritual being in perfection that never does anything wrong. It's another thing to try to understand how we relate that to daily living. Jesus did that. He came down from heaven as God, and at the same time walked on earth as a man. And He showed us what it is like to combine the human side with the godly side. And He did that perfectly. He set the ultimate example. He taught the ultimate lesson about what living righteously is all about. Well, now we're not going to be able, likely, to live in the perfection that Jesus did in this life, but we are going to have to be able to do much of the same thing that Jesus set out to do, and that is to live enough like God, God-like, godly, in the image of God, that people out here can see what righteousness is about, what light is about. You know, God is identified as light, that is, the perfect light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And we have to, as children of God, you notice that? If God is light, perfect light, and we are children of God, we are children of that light. And like my children pick up my habits and talk like I do and behave like I do, whether good or bad, we as children of God are supposed to be imitations of God. So that as you might see one of my children, or my little nephew was in at somebody's office the other day, and they said, well, Carrie sure can't deny this one. Carrie wasn't even there, but they saw Carrie, and they saw the baby, and they knew the two belonged together. And that's what I'm trying to say about us today, is that people are going to have to be able, if we're going to be lights, to look at us, to look at Randy and to look at Lenny, to look at Jeff and see God in us. Not see Randy, a great guy. Not see Jeff, that great moral person in Xenia. Not to see Lenny as just an outstanding community leader. They're going to have to be able to see in us and in you God. And that's something that I think that we're failing to understand and failing to reflect, at least as much as we ought to. A lot of times we have our lights dimmed considerably because we rationalize sin. You realize that for every sin a person can commit, there is a rationalization that can make it to the human mind seem all right. Even make it seem right. You know, we can take the very element of stealing and we have it in our writings, our literature. We have examples of stealing being perfectly all right. Remember Robin Hood? No, we watched Robin Hood on television and read Robin Hood in the books, and we thought he was the greatest guy that ever lived. He stole from the nasty old rich man, or men, and he gave it to the poor. And if they would make a TV serial about Robin Hood, we would all enjoy it, even though the man's a thief. See, we can rationalize what is wrong and even make it appear to be right. We can take fornication, and we do, on television, and we make it appear to be the right thing. We call it love sometimes, an overpowering love. And we make it out to be the greatest thing that ever occurred. We can even take ignoring the worship of God and try to turn it into some sort of right-minded thinking. I know people who say, I'm not going to be a member of the church. I'm not going to come to worship because you have people down there who are hypocrites. I saw them the other night, the way they were behaving, and I'm not going to be identified with a group of people like that. I'll just sit at home. I've got relatives that talk like that. And there are. We can find at least hypocrisy in the Knollwood Church. I don't know whether we have anyone who has gone far enough that I want to stand up and label them a hypocrite, but, you know, I can just look inwardly a little bit and see some hypocrisy from time to time. And most any of us that get down and get honest will find that from time to time too. But sometimes we can turn something like that, if we want to, and try to make ignoring the worship of God all right because we see someone else doing something that is wrong or acting with hypocrisy. Satan has a lot of ways of trying to steal our lamp, putting our light out, or putting a shade over it. Jesus said we should take our light and put it up like a city on the mountaintop where everyone can see it, or a candle set up on a lampstand. And the thinking back then was that everybody basically sat on the floor and they put the light or the lamp up on a stand so that it would light the area. We might stick an electric light up the top of the ceiling or on a lampstand to light the room. We put it up where it can be seen. But too oftentimes, we as Christians put these little shades down over our light. This has been done ever since the beginning of the church. It wasn't long after the church was established that we saw the church began to be divided. You know, one of the things that really destroys the light of God in a community is to have the church divided up into denominations. Any of you that have gotten out and tried to talk to people about the gospel and the church have been confronted, maybe at almost every door, with the confusion that exists when you start talking about the church that the Bible talks about. Well, now, how do you compare to the Methodist? Or how do you compare to the Pentecostal? Or what about this other group that calls themselves the Church of Christ? And what's the difference between you and the First Church of Christ and the Christian Church and the group that meets over there and the one that meets over there? Well, they've got me confused then. You see the problem? You try to teach the gospel of Christ. You try to let your light shine. And then there are so many different lights. These little lights dull, but little lights all over the place. But it's shaded. And the image of God and the way of God and the behavior of God, again, becomes a mass of artificial light and confusion. When within the body of Christ itself, we get divided over institutions and one cup or many cups, or over whether we wear a doily on our head or don't wear a doily on our head, all of that sort of thing becomes confusion. Somebody asked, well, should I go to church at Knollwood, or should I go to Fairborn, or Waynesville, or one of these other places? And then you have to try to explain all of that. And what is missing in all of that is what God wants. Missing in all of that is the image of God, and the light is turned down to where it is nearly off. Light dispels darkness. If we were to be able to cover that front window and seal it up so no light were to come in there, and then I'd get Brother Ricks to turn all the artificial lights off in the room, we would have complete darkness. But if I would pull out a flashlight, darkness would be dispelled. The two cannot coexist together. Now, a light might have more intensity than another one, but light and darkness can't coexist at the same time. Now, that's a physical principle. God has taken the physical principle and used it to try to show us a spiritual principle. If all of us, and I would just guess that there are about 285 people, somebody can check, see how close I come to that, here today. And if all of us were Christians, and all of us were letting our light shine as we ought to, that's a lot of light. And it dispels darkness. I was thinking the other night, I forget which night it was, a friend called me up and said, let's go night fly. So we got in a little plane and we got up about 8 o'clock at night, 7, 8 o'clock at night, and we flew all over this area. You know the thing that impressed me about that? You get around Dayton, and it's just a flood of lights, beautiful strings of lights all over the place. It's all lit up. And as far as you can see, all the way to Cincinnati, all the way to Columbus, Washington Courthouse on the east, and almost to Richmond, Indiana on the west, you can see nothing but a string of lights. Now you take any one of those street lights that are down there lighting all that up, and it doesn't really put out that much light. If we would extinguish all but one of them, it would be almost completely dark up there in the airplane. But when you have all of those lights shining, it's a magnificent appearance, and it's impressive. And the same thing is true about us. If every one of us who live scattered all over a 35-mile area around here, we're letting our light shine, it would be impressive in the communities in which we live. We would be making an impact. Not one of us alone could make the impact by ourselves, but all of us together make a flood of lights. And we would be dispelling a lot of spiritual darkness in doing so. You know, another principle about light is involved in the laser beam. We hear a lot about laser technology these days, a beam of light that can cut through certain metals and take out almost anything in its path. Phenomenal amount of power. You know, I talk to fellow Christians, and most all of us look upon ourselves as being weak. We take the idea of a Christian needing to be humble, and we translate that into powerless. We take the concepts of Christians as being meek, and we convert that to having to be the little wishy-washy fellow that never says anything or does anything and just sort of huddles in his home waiting for the second coming. Well, as lights in this world, we've got to be a lot more powerful than that. Spiritual light is what God is. It's what the gospel is. And the gospel is the power of God and the salvation. And who is it that has to take that power and use it? Do you ever think about that? Really, if we think about what we are, that we are Christians, children of God, lights as God is light, we would conclude that we are the most powerful people on this earth. You ever think about that? I hardly ever met a Christian who considered himself or herself one of the most powerful people in the world. But that's what a Christian is. If you've got the gospel of Christ, if you've got what God sent his son to die for, if you've got the hope of heaven in your hand and in your life, and you can show it to someone else, you've got power beyond imagination. Think about that. Like I say, I don't run into many Christians, and personally I don't think about it often enough myself, that we have a hold of a power more powerful than laser beams or dynamos or dynamite or nuclear energy, anything that we've got in this world. We've got the power. But you know, just like light, just like dynamite, it doesn't do you any good to have power unless you use it. I have a couple of friends who are politicians, and I believe they truly are motivated by a desire to change inequities in this world. They have risen to positions of great power in this country. They can say or do something, and many, many people follow their lead. They have power and they use it to affect change for good. Oftentimes we view power as a negative, but power can be used positively to bring about good. And we have power as Christians. I want you to think about that. If you take nothing away today, except that one element, forget everything else I had to say, go home remembering that as a Christian, you have power. You reflect the light of God, and that is powerful. Just like the moon is a reflection of the sun's radiance and power, you are a reflection and a power from God. Back in the time of Paul, Paul took what was the power of God, the gospel. He let his light shine. He traveled over most of the known world then proclaiming the gospel. And when he stood before a great ruler by the name of Felix and preached to him the gospel and showed him what being a Christian was all about, reflected the image of God and what God taught, Felix literally trembled when he heard it. You know, I think we can have a similar effect on people if we really come up to our potential as far as showing God in our communities. Our lights must shine to dispel darkness. We're not going to save people or allow them to be saved by the gospel unless we let people see what it's all about. If someone at work asks you a question about what you believe, and you give some little mousy answer about, well, if you'd come to church, I'm sure our preacher would be glad to tell you, you're not going to convert very many people to the gospel of Christ. If someone asks you, why do you go to church twice on Sunday and once on Wednesday night, and give a goodly portion of your income to that church over there, and you say, well, we'll try to talk about that sometime, you're not going to convert very many people to the gospel of Christ. If we give any of those put-off answers, those hide-our-light-under-the-bushel answers, whatever yours is or mine is, we're not going to really be able to dispel darkness in this world. We're not really going to be able to use the power of God to make a change in this world if we don't use the power that we have in our hands. And you know, if we live lives that really aren't a reflection of God, we're not going to be able to do anything but damage either. You walk into a dark room and flip the switch and nothing comes on. You go get your flashlight and you look up there and the bulb is broken. It doesn't do a thing as far as dispelling darkness in that room. If you're living a life that isn't godly, isn't righteous, in fact is a reproach on everything that God stands for, you're doing us more harm than you're doing good. You're doing more damage to people out there who might be looking for the truth, and they look at you and they say, if that's the truth, I don't want it. You're doing more damage than if you did have your light under a bushel, I presume. We need to think about not only when we're tempted to sin, when we're tempted to do something wrong, we've got more to think about than ourselves. You know, a lot of times, especially when you're younger, a temptation comes along and you say to yourself, well, I could probably get away with it this time. This will be the last time I do it. Nobody's going to see it. I'll get it straightened out tomorrow, and I won't do that anymore. Well, sometimes we do that, and we follow through, and we don't do it anymore. But even if that were the case, think about some other people that might have seen you. You know, you've got more as a Christian to worry about than just yourself. Sure, every time you commit a sin, you're putting your soul in jeopardy of hell. And let me not belittle that fact one iota. But every time I or you commit a sin, and other people who are not Christians see it, you have not only jeopardized your soul, you've jeopardized the soul of everybody that has seen you flaunt sin in the face of God. Do you imagine what it does? And this is frightening to me. For me to stand up here in a pulpit before you and preach about what is right, and then if I go out here and the people on the job see me lying and conniving and carrying on, how many people are going to want to be like I am? I'm saying this is the way that God is, and yet they see all that? No, it can't work that way. And so when we live our daily lives and we think about sin, we've got to think about more than just being accountable for myself. We may be accountable in the judgment day for a lot of other people that we've turned away from righteousness because of our behavior. But you know, I think a bigger problem that we have in the church right here is that we have a lot of good lights. And when we come into the building, most all of them are turned on. And this is a bright room that we sit in. But too often, when we leave this building, put the dimmer on, and people don't see the same intensity of interest in serving God out there as they would see in here. And that's something that we're going to have to work on. We're talking about reorganizing this big congregation into new groups, smaller workable groups to try to build ourselves up internally and also to proclaim the gospel. We're going to have to make better use of those groups than we have in the past, or we might as well scrap it to begin with, because they're doing next to nothing now. We're going to have to decide that we're going to turn our lights on and we're going to do something in the communities in which we live. Or else we might as well turn the light out, go home, turn the television set on, and do whatever we please anyway. We are going to have to make our lights shine. We have two things that we really have to make a decision about today in terms of what we've talked about. If today you're a Christian and you've been hiding the fact that you're a Christian or not letting people see it well enough, you need to make a commitment right now to yourself and to God to do a better job of reflecting His glory. And remember, that's the point. Not to make yourself look good, but to make God look good to people that don't know Him. And if you're not a Christian this morning, think about the power that you could have in your hands. You know, a lot of you that I'm talking to in this category already try to do what's right. But the thing that you're missing, no matter how good you live, no matter how righteously you live in terms of not committing sin, you still are not reflecting the image of God in the community. Because you are not identified with His name, you are not His child, you are not taking His light and proclaiming it because you are not of His. You can simply be. It doesn't take much in terms of action on your part, but it takes commitment. It takes an honesty. It takes a decision on your part that you want to be a light, that you want to hold the power of God and reflect it in your community. And so when we stand and sing a song in just a moment, our plea to you, whether you be a child of God who hasn't been shining His or her light, or whether you be a non-Christian, our plea is to make a change and decide to do what's right now while we have an opportunity, and we invite you while we stand and sing.